Welcome to the Golf Industry Uncut. On-demand audio for the world of golf like never before. Exclusively on THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Network. Now, here's your host, JB.
Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of the show called The Golf Industry Uncut. Each episode of Uncut will feature one of the great insiders from the golf industry. They'll be placed on the hot seat to discuss equipment, technology, and the entire golf industry landscape. This week, we welcome Sydney to the show. We're going to talk about social media. We're going to talk about True Temper and Project X. Are you ready to step into the hot seat?
I'm ready.
THP Radio is your new twist on on-demand audio in the world of golf, and the Golf Industry Uncut is your complete access to the equipment world that you're craving the info on. The way the show works is easy. Once the record button is pressed, there's no editing done until the show ends, so you hear it all. Our only rule is simple. Every guest must be accessible, either on the THP forum or through social media. So before we dive right into this, can you tell them how they can find you on Twitter?
Certainly. You can find me behind at True Temper Golf or at Project X Golf. And then personally, I have at Sydney B. Whitney. Plenty of places.
That's a lot to keep up with.
It is a lot to keep up with. I didn't even throw in hockey.
That's true. Are you ready to step into it?
I'm ready.
Now, I wouldn't say new to the world of golf. You've been with True Temper for a number of years now. How did you get into golf and the marketing side of it?
So I actually got into golf through the American Junior Golf Association. I worked for them back in summer 2012, and I cannot say enough good things about that experience and how that kind of prepared me for where I am today. And honestly, it was through them that I ended up getting this job here at True Temper almost 3 years ago, actually.
Yeah, you're right around that three-year mark right now, aren't you?
I am. Time has flown. Yeah, so the AJGA, I learned so much there. I was the communications intern and did the whole travel thing and helped put on their tournaments through the entire summer that year. And then shout out to Rosanna. She had a really good connection with True Temper because we are sponsors of the AJGA and just kind of went from there and got my job.
And here you are 3 years later, still there. You have good people around you.
Still there. For now, at least.
Careful, you know, Chad and people might be listening to this one.
I know. I'll be careful. But yeah, 3 years, it's been a great 3 years. Each year has gotten a lot more exciting. It's been fun, and the responsibilities keep getting more, which is a lot of fun to kind of take control of my job and do a lot of fun things around here.
Now, one of the things we kind of talk about quite a bit throughout, you know, our forum and social media and everything is what makes for good social media. You know, the digital world and everything, how do you think it has evolved and what do you think specifically makes for good social media content?
Yeah, you know, social media content is different for different, I would say, different industries. But the one thing that is, I would say, the same is it's got to have people react. I think that you need to get a viewer to stop and react in some way, whether that's they engage because they can relate to it, or they engage because it makes them laugh or makes them feel something. But I think I've realized over the past 3 years, especially being in social media every day, is that people's spam or like BS filter on social media is very high these days. And so you've got to be able to create content that's going to push past that, especially from a company. You know, people don't want a robot on social media from a company. And there's plenty of those out there. And I think that when you can kind of do something different that gives people a better view of you, a better view of the company, something that is a little bit unique, that's when the good content starts coming out.
Now, that's a really interesting perspective because I tend to agree. Now, my one knock on social media is not really a complaint of the platform as much as it is what goes into it. And I think what's lost in it is how much work goes into content for social media, which in some ways can disappear, you know, as quick as 5 minutes and as long as maybe a week. Does that kind of kill you inside when you put something out that you know is great content, you get great feedback on it, but the engagement is kind of not there, you know, whether that's a video that people watch and they're just like, oh, that was really interesting, I learned something, but they don't comment? How does that go about it?
That's a very interesting predicament that we're in, because we do spend a lot of time playing. And I, like other people in the golf industry, this is my full-time job. Now, I do some other things, but, you know, that is what I'm here for. And so there's a lot of planning. There's a lot of time put into the content we put out. And you're right. I mean, I hate to say it, but you kind of live and die by those likes and favorites and retweets. And as much as you don't want to, you kind of find yourself checking that all the time, and the engagement. And, you know, it's digital. Analytics are everywhere, which is great. I would never not want that. But the thing is, you can't avoid seeing the success or the failure of your social media content. And it's right in front of, for most people, I mean, almost everyone can see that, minus the back end stuff. But yeah, it can be tough sometimes, and you think you've put something really good out there, and then it kind of falls flat. But that's just the name of the game. And as marketers, we're you pick back up and you create more content.
Yeah, and I kind of relate that to some of the live aspects that they have now with Periscope and Facebook's live thing. I don't use Facebook. That's somebody else in our office, but it's very well done. And how, you know, it's gone in 24 hours. So, you know,
yeah.
It's quick and easy, and you look and you have people engaging with you and everything else, but it is quick, and you've got to deal with that and then move right on to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, with advertising these days on social media, that you can help, you know, get your message out there to a broader audience and last a little bit longer. But even still, I mean, that's just, it only reaches so much. So that's the challenge. And that's where it kind of makes it fun, though. You know, that challenge of, okay, I know this is only going to be hot for maybe one day, or maybe not even. So, you know, what's coming tomorrow? What's coming in the next couple hours? So it's definitely a challenge.
Now, right now, based on our readers, True Temper and Project X is considered the king of content in the Shaft Arena. Where do you find the strategy and what goes on to putting on a fun campaign? You know, we put out a thing a couple weeks back that it says, who has the best social media? For we did equipment companies, we do apparel, and we did one for chefs, and it was like True Temper and everybody else. And there are others that are catching up, I'll say. But obviously, that's a testament to you and your team, and I'm not starting this because of that. How do you go about creating that content and figuring out the ideas of what to put into it?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, I have to give credit where credit is due, and so much of that goes into a team effort. I would work closely with my bosses, Lauren and Chad, to plan out content. So, you know, we're consistent across all channels. Oh, and I would get in trouble if I don't mention Don Brown. He doubled as graphite shaft engineer and marketing wannabe. So he helps with content creation. But
and our listeners know Don well from his previous podcast and his strange eating habits.
So anyway, I work closely with really the three of those. We do a lot of planning calls. We have a big whiteboard wall over here in marketing that we just throw stuff at it and just kind of hone it in, you know. I think a lot of content comes from the tour too, because that's a huge part of our message and our outward facing strategy, because that's kind of how we measure ourselves, is our tour success, and we want to share that. So a lot of it kind of starts there, and then we bring it into the office and kind of plan around that, around products, and then kind of push that out. And then I would say also that education is another big part of our planning content, just because being a shaft company, it is something that people, I would say, if you cornered them, 9 times out of 10, most golfers would say they really don't know much about golf shaft technology. Even though they think they do, I think there's a lot of people that, you know, like, oh, actually, I don't know anything about that. And so we realize that it's complicated, and there's a lot of stuff that people don't know. So when we're planning content for even just for product launches, just going into the nitty gritty and kind of breaking it down is a huge part for us. And that creates enough content on its own, just because there's so much about golf shafts that people need to know and how it affects their game.
Before we continue, I want to remind everybody that they can discuss these topics and all the topics on the THP forum with thousands of golfers every single day. And of course, you can follow, discuss, debate, and interact with Sydney on Twitter at True Temper Golf, at Project X Golf, and of course, her own personal account that she gave out earlier. If you include at THP Golf and the hashtag THP Radio, we'll include future questions on the show with her if she decides to come back, if we don't scare her away.
Of course not. I would never. I'll come back whenever you ask.
The next question is kind of been leading from that is, you know, the social media world and the digital marketing world is ever changing. How hard is it to stay up on it while still taking care of regular responsibilities? And what do you see next on the horizon? And I'll use this example. A few months back, and I guess probably half a year back, Meerkat came on the scene and everybody was like, wow, this is live video, you know, as it happens. And 7 days later, Periscope launches and Meerkat's dead.
Yeah.
With it changing so fast, how do you pick and choose what to use? You know, it seems Snapchat's popular now. I can't even begin to understand it. Instagram's still popular. Twitter's still popular, although their stock says otherwise. Facebook is still popular. Message boards and forums like THP are popular. How do you stay up on all of it? It's crazy.
It is. You should see my inbox. It's so many marketing strategy emails. I try to stay up. It's one of those things that, especially as in the position that we are, being a component, we have had many conversations where it's strategy on, okay, which platforms are we going to devote our time to? Because we, like you said, I mean, there's things that come and go, like Meerkat, for example, that just, you know, if you start putting all your eggs in one basket, you know, who knows if it's going to be there tomorrow. But over the past 3 years, I've kind of been able to figure out where our audience connects with us best and where I'm able to invest my time and not feel stressed. You know, I don't want True Templar and Project X to be out there just to say that we're on Vine, we're on Periscope, we're on Twitter, we're on Snapchat, we're everywhere, and then do a really terrible job at that. So I would love to be in more places sometimes, but I think that I've kind of figured out I'm not going to jump on the newest stuff immediately. I kind of want to ride the wave because I know it works for us. But I would say, I mean, with new stuff, you know, we're always happy to test it out. That's not the issue. It's, I think, kind of figuring out what's worth our time and where people are going to actually want to interact with us the most.
That's an interesting perspective, too, because, you know, you guys are a unique situation rather than the equipment companies that we work with as well, where half your audience is the actual manufacturers of the club heads and the other half is the direct consumer. And in a perfect world, every shaft company wants their business split 50-50. Obviously, that's very difficult to do. So you have to interact with both, really.
Yeah. It's really an interesting place that we're in, and it's fun. It makes a lot of fun. So, you know, our customers are the equipment companies and they're not the, you know, the golfer really. So we are a B2B company, but when I plan and I plan out our content and I do our photography and our email marketing and all of that, I'm not thinking B2B. I'm thinking B2C because if we're marketing ourselves to those golfers, then it's going to kind of take care of itself because we want people to know who we are. And then that helps with our customers because they see us out there. So it's really an interesting mindset that we kind of have to balance both. But in the end, social media kind of has lifted that veil off of companies and it kind of makes it easier just to talk to the consumer anyway. So we've kind of naturally fallen into a marketing routine of more of a B2C relationship on social media, but still, of course, B2B when it comes to who we are as a company.
Yeah, it is rather unique. And hats off to people like Don and your company who have made products that are very consumer friendly, that are, I don't want to say easier to market because that's not the right term, but, you know, handcrafted, hazardous. These things are very, they're talk worthy and it makes our readers excited and frankly makes my job easier. And everybody who's listening to this knows how lazy I am.
And he makes my job easier too. So it's a lot of fun when I've got cool products like that to put out there. So yeah, it's, and I think that's been something, even just in the 3 short years that I've been here, that since I started to now, that has been our trajectory ever since I started, and it's not slowing down. You know, that fun, creative side of who we are, and, but also the really technical, side kind of blending with that, because, you know, you want something that's eye-catching. You want people to notice it, but, you know, that's not all about it. But it makes it a lot of fun, especially on the Project X side. That audience is, and just our voice on Project X is a lot more fun, a lot more laid back, that San Diego, California handcrafted vibe that we have going on with all our graphite stuff.
Now, we've talked about how easy some of the things are and how difficult, but this one's going to be rather an interesting question. How hard is it to watch player after player win with your products, both True Temper and Project X, and know you have to walk such a fine line as a company because they're not paid to endorse the products?
So I have a funny story about this. When I wanted the job, I saw the job was open, and I started kind of preparing to apply for it and kind of putting together some, you know, resume stuff and whatever and all that. I was checking out their social media, what they had been doing, and I noticed that they weren't saying the players' names. And I was talking with kind of a mentor at the time, and they didn't know the golf industry, and so they were confused as well. We were both like, why are they saying Tiger Woods' name? It's, you know, I'm not sure they understand the meaning of social media and like how this works. And really funny, I think in my interview, one of my first interviews, they asked, like, you know, if you had some suggestions for our social media, what would it be? And I think I brought that up about using players' names. And then I finally found out. And I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense. But I will say sometimes it feels like I'm talking with duct tape over my mouth because I'm trying to give every description of the player in the tournament and the day and the time and the shaft he was using without saying his name. So it is a fine line for sure. We've kind of found a balance of where we fall in there. And I think over time, people have kind of figured out that's who we are. And we, you know, most shop companies are like that anyway. But every now and then I get a few people who are like, guys, why aren't you saying his name? And I'm like, well, you know, they'll figure it out soon enough. But, yeah, it's really just, I've had to train my mind and we just kind of focus on the product and go from there and just kind of, let the product speak for itself and then tour success. Kind of just, I think people latch on to that. The more that they see the stuff that we put out, they kind of figure out our message and our cadence and how we do that.
Well, it is an interesting dynamic because your tour usage is the easiest way to use it is dominant. That finishes our five questions, but it's time for Fire Away. Are you ready to step into the hot seat?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. Last day in Memphis before moving away. Where do you go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? That's a personal question. Ooh. I'll be taking notes.
So good. Okay. Oh, this is tough. Breakfast, I would say, oh no, this is too many. Breakfast, I'm really struggling with this one. There's one.
I figured for sure it'd be donuts, right?
We're going to go with that. Yeah, let's go with that because that's on my list. It would be the maple bacon donut at Gibson's. And lunch, because it's next door, would have to be Gus's fried chicken. And then dinner would be Hog and Hominy. And I would have to get their famous peanut butter banana pie because I love bananas.
Listen to that THP rivalry MVPs, whoever you may be in the future. You're going to want to remember those three places.
Yes. And feel free to ask because there's probably about 20 more places I could have listed there.
I know I expected Central Barbecue, but...
You know, I love barbecue.
The three you listed,
but you know,
were
I'm not from Memphis. Yeah, but you know, I'm not from Memphis, so I love barbecue. But I'm from Atlanta, so that fried chicken really speaks to me.
When not watching golf, what is your favorite sports team to cheer for? And it has to be professional.
The Braves.
Last movie you've seen in the theater?
Ooh, I'm not a movie buff. That's actually a really tough one.
It has been for everybody.
I don't know why that's so hard. The Big Short.
Best sandwich and from where?
It is a ham and egg, fried egg sandwich at Portolino's. It is actually owned by the same people who own Hog and Hominy. So I love like everything they do.
Interesting. Best travel city for food, and it can't be where you're from.
Paris. Which is probably not fair, but went there last year. It was hard to beat.
What toppings go on a hot dog?
Mustard, onions, sauerkraut.
You made a lot of our listeners happy by not mentioning ketchup.
Nope. There's no place for ketchup on a hot dog.
I strongly disagree, but my wife... who will be marching into this office soon, would slap me for saying it.
I'll eat on my french fries, but it's not a hot dog.
Morning coffee, Starbucks versus Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh. I love a good Starbucks, but if you get Dunkin' Donuts with the all the way with the cream and sugar, it's hard to beat.
Creepiest tweet you have ever received at one of the Shaft companies?
Oh, I can't say it.
That bad, huh?
That bad. Yeah, that bad.
Wow.
I've gotten used to that over the years, but a lot of them I cannot repeat.
Oh my God, I'm actually blushing, I think.
It was actually on Facebook, not on Twitter.
Favorite TV show currently on?
I'm going to say Narcos, even though it's not actually airing right now because it's on Netflix, but season 2 is coming, and it's my top fave on Netflix, behind House of Cards, or in front of House of Cards, excuse me.
Really?
Yeah.
And finally, you work with Chad, Don Brown, and Lauren Carr. Out of the three of them, who has the worst road rage?
I'm going to have to go with Don, but it's really not that bad. I just had I'm laughing because there was a funny experience with Lauren in DC traffic where their road rage came out accidentally. And it was so surprising because you know Lauren's personality.
Yes.
But it's an inside joke between us. But we'll go with Don just because he can take the heat.
Sounds good. There you have it, gang. We want to thank Sydney for coming on the show and talking to us. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. And, of course, follow along on Twitter, at THP Golf, at True Temper Golf, and her Project X account as well. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Hacker's Paradise so you never miss an episode of the Golf Industry Uncut, The Dean Has Spoken, or On the T-Box. And if you get a chance, leave us a review. Let us know what your favorite TV THP radio show is. So for myself and, of course, Sydney, we hope you enjoyed this new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut. Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network. Your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.